Welcome, welcome, welcome to Tim and Joel's Gory Self-Mutilation Spectacular. Today, Joel, I think we talked about finger stuff. So which one of us was starting? I think we were both in for a finger, at least.
In for a finger, in for a hand, I think is the same, right? Is that how it goes?
Definitely it. In all seriousness, welcome to Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring. And only one of us is likely to lose a finger. So,
is it?
It's not
is
me.
Is it me?
Yeah.
What the, how? How the hell would I lose a finger?
Look, I don't know. It's just what the producer told me. I'm sorry.
Who's the producer?
Look, Joel, I am sorry that you're incapable of keeping up with the staff, but I, unlike you, don't feel it is beneath me to speak to the little guy.
Who's the little guy?
Anyway, I think we're talking about wrestling.
Our bits are awful, but yeah. You know, it's not awful. Yeah, the segues.
Toes for the cause.
Always.
Give us your toes, but actually.
Toes us a thumbs up on this video. How's that? Now we're doing puns. And while you're here, you can leave us a comment. If you're in the chat, welcome. Good to see you. Love to have you. And subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We're marching on our way. We've got 100 episodes almost under our belt. February 13th is episode 100. That's Sunday. That's what is that? It's almost a month, less than a month from now. So that's like pretty exciting. And if you want to talk more wrestling, we got a Discord, and there's a link to that Discord. It's free and it's in the video description. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're an audio subscriber, go ahead. You can leave us a 5-star review if you like us. If you hate us, you can leave us a 5-star review, but be like, these guys suck, but I want other people to hear them so they can see how much they suck. So go ahead, leave a 5-star review if you're in the audio realm, because guess what? It still gets us in your friends' ears. Tim.
I want in them ears. I want in them ears.
I don't. We need Q-tips for that stuff.
No, you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to use Q-tips in the ears?
No. Absolutely not. It's not safe. It feels real nice, but it's not safe.
It feels so nice.
Anyway, it's dangerous. You could risk your hearing.
I got to see an ENT, I guess. This is the thing now. Tim, how are you doing? How was the rest of your week? We saw each other on Wednesday. We've spoken since then. But how are you doing?
I'm all right. Work got pretty crazy. So it was a rough week. It was a rough week. Been a good weekend, though.
Good. I had a really nice Twitch stream over at Fightful Gaming where I beat Mario 64 in way too much time, but I cheated my way to the finish.
Hooray!
Because that's what people do when they speedrun games.
You're
I don't
a true
speed
heel.
Run games. I don't speedrun games. I just find exploitative measures in which to finish Mario 64 with 50 stars instead of the at least 70.
All right.
It took 3 hours. I'm proud of myself. I'm not really that proud. It took some time. What's going on, Chad? How you doing? It's good to see you. It's good to have some time. There you go. Mod Mike wants to give up toes if it helps. Anything for the cause. See? Anything
toes
for the cause.
Toes for the cause. Yeah.
Tim, I don't know about you, but the latter half of the week in wrestling didn't entirely do it for me.
Had its moments.
Let's talk about... Do you want to talk SmackDown or do you want to talk about AEW first? Yeah, this is painful.
SmackDown. Let's go.
All right, let's talk about SmackDown. First hour was not great in my eyes.
The first hour was... Did it start with... one, obviously, a million recap packages. Yes. But then it was the Usos who came out. Was that the start of the show?
That was. Usos come out and they're like, hey, we're the best. We went to war with the New Day.
Misused the word yeet like a bunch of aging boomers.
It's very strange. Don't know what that
was
about.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think yeet... Anyway.
It doesn't mean yes. Maybe Vince does, and they're like, say yeet.
And they're like, boss, that's not right. And he's like, say yeet.
Say yeet.
The Zoomers will love it.
That's right. Don't know why my Vince McMahon is currently Batman, but here we are. Christian Bale's Batman. I mean,
close enough.
Christian Vince McMahon Bale Batman. So they go and they do the promo where they're like, hey, we the ones, and also shout out to the New Day. Y'all were great, but we won and we're the best. And now they got to find a new tag team to face going into the Royal Rumble. So they had a four-way. Tim, when I tell you that Los Lotharios, who you were waiting for, now they're back, Cesaro Mansoor, also known
apparently
as
a tag
Manzaro,
team. Oh, no, 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 they're
That's what we're calling them. Jinder Mahal and Shanky and the Viking Raiders. When I tell you those four teams are getting in the ring together to have a match, who do you think is going to win the match knowing that the Viking Raiders are the only team out of the four
who have
been featured in any single prominent role on WWE television in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, the only ones who've been on TV in the last 3 weeks. That's it. Which weird feud. I mean, every time with the Vikings, it's tough because they're Vikings. So
yeah, and I saw some people talking about so Viking Raiders get the win, shocker. And then people were saying, you know, this would have been a lot better if the Viking Raiders had not lost to Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, it would have been great. It's
pretty good assessment, I would say. I think it's pretty solid base. But they won. They are the number one contenders. They opened the match by getting kicked in the face by the Usos.
Well, Los Lotharios got kicked in the face, no? Was that?
No, that was the Viking Raiders. Maybe it was both of them.
I think it was both of them.
Either way, I sat there and I'm just like, cool.
It's like the starting gun, I guess. You just get kicked in the face.
They're supposed to ring a bell, Tim. Not supposed to kick you in the face.
Well, okay. They weren't very good at ringing bells on Friday, and we'll get to that too, but anyway.
So Elliot brings up the Saudi Superman, if you call Cesaro Mansoor that, Mansoro. I think the way it's going to go is the Viking Raiders are not going to beat the Usos at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, really? What a hot take.
I know. Hot take. Sorry. Went there. I'm sorry if I burned you all with that. But I think that Mansoro are going to take those titles from the Usos in Saudi Arabia. I think that's the build. The look on your face at the WrestleMania Elimination Chamber, the annual WrestleMania Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. I'm not jazzed about the Saudi Arabia getting the Elimination Chamber. I'm not shocked.
Oh, hot take.
I'm not shocked. I'm not pleased by it.
I'm not surprised at all.
I thought this was going to be a TV thing. I was pretty, I mean, listen, I said it for weeks on the show. I was waiting for them to make it a Raw and SmackDown Elimination Chamber.
I feel like a Saudi audience is just more accustomed to a gory self-mutilation spectacle that is the Elimination Chamber, whereas family-oriented viewers in the U.S. might not so much.
Saudi audience?
Sorry, just
the way that it bounces together is nice. Anyway.
Unlike anything else involving this show.
Not even close. So Viking Raiders win it. They're going to be the number one contenders. And I'm sure the match will be fun, but I don't expect much at the Royal Rumble. I don't want to talk about the Sonya and Naomi stuff right away. I want to kind of touch on it all together as one segment.
Because there's a lot to say.
But I do want to say the Sami Zayn segment. He comes out and he introduces
Insane with Sami Zayn.
The Insane. And I'm like, perfect. This is great. Sammy's like, if there's one thing Sami Zayn knows, and that's how to be a jackass. And the crowd is like, yeah, it's a good pop. There's some funny moments. I thought that segment was so much fun.
It played out exactly how you expected, with Sami Zayn not doing the gag, because of course he isn't going to, because that's the heel thing to do, and it was good. Boogs cut his hair. I didn't notice that.
I just dropped my pen. Sorry. Anyway, Boogs now looks like he's in his Radio Gaga face.
Yeah, I was about to. Yeah, thank you. You also. Yeah.
I just kind of ruined the flow by dropping my pen. My bad. Anyway, now I got a new pen and hopefully I don't drop it. So Zayn is doing that. And like you said, Rick Boogs comes out. Nakamura hits him with a Kinshasa, doesn't he? I think. And then
something like that.
and then I'm going to use the word right. Rick Boogs yeets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did I get it?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. You got it, yeah. As far as I understand.
Sami Zayn into the X crash pad.
Very soft landing. Yeah, it was nice. The crowd goes wild.
Was there too much build for you leading up to the crash pad spot, or the ramp spot where with the crash cart or the
exactly how I would have put it together. Like that thing just writes itself. It's fine. It's not like the best thing in the world, but it's fun for a few minutes. It was fine.
I had a good laugh about it. Yeah, I think live I was just, this is still going, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, live, I don't know how anyone tolerates any of this.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Live, this all sounds awful. Like, none of this in the... Like, what's next? The Natalia Aaliyah thing must have been so irritating from a live spectator perspective, not knowing what the hell is going on. Like,
yeah. Well, let's get to that. First, yeah, Boogs needs somebody to love. He has somebody to love. He's got
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke, who's like the Japanese equivalent to Michael Jackson, if you watch his old Wrestle Kingdom entrances. We'll get to the Michael Jackson thing too, because that was the Seth thing. Let's move on to Aaliyah and Natalia. Yes, you talked about it. You touched on it just now. I was so sure that they were about to give Aaliyah a puke gimmick. I see her in the back with Vince McMahon just being like, she's gonna puke. She's gonna puke. But it's not 1999 anymore.
No, exactly. It's the WWE of the past, and the family-oriented audience doesn't want that.
That's right. They don't want blood. They don't want puke. They already did it. It's now up to other companies to do that stuff and not get subscribers and whatever. Anyway, Natty has the Guinness Book of World Records, and Aaliyah, who is very much a Zoomer, says, wow, that thing still exists. I love
that. Great question. Yep. Very fair. I absolutely
loved it. Yeah. And then, yeah, multiple world record holder Natalia.
Didn't know world records existed for fake sport, but it's fine, I guess.
Buddy, these world records, many of which are fake already, could use
wrestling. Well, I mean, it exists to what? Settle bar arguments? That's why it exists.
Pretty much.
Like, it's the dumbest. Anyway.
Well, it's either that or you argue about who's the better British Prime Minister.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's fair. Want that happening. Don't want anyone talking about politics ever.
That's right. Rip the Elder. Lloyd Palmer's not. Anyway, so they're ranting about the Guinness Book. And she keeps going, by the way. They go to commercial, and then she comes back, and Natty's still talking about the stupid Guinness Book World Record.
Yeah, she's like, she sure went on.
She's like, I got the records for most matches of any woman, most pay-per-view matches, most wins. And she's going to, like, I'm going to beat the record of 3.8 seconds for a win by any woman in WWE history.
I feel like she went out of her way to make it as wordy as possible to include the caveat that it's for a woman in every single line. And I was like, oh, yep. Okay.
It was something. Natty attacks Aaliyah before the bell, and the referee's can you continue?
Which is not how, like, they're both in the ring. Ring the bell. That's how every other WWE match works. There's no reason why the bell wouldn't have rung because, like, you know, when they do this shtick, one of them's beaten outside of the ring, right? So, yep. Like, if you're in the audience, you're like, the match has started. And then they do this whole thing that centers around the match not having started. Like, why didn't they just go out and end it in 3-point-whatever seconds? Like...
They finally do it. They ring the bell and Aaliyah gets the win. Remember that 3.87? There's 3.8 seconds. It's now 3.17 because Aaliyah 3.17 says, I just whooped your ass.
Yeah, except the entire segment took like 5 to 10 minutes. So
yeah. A question from Supersonic. Did Natty even win some of those pay-per-view matches? Absolutely, she did.
Yeah, she had them. Yeah, she's got all the wins. She's got the win record.
Well, you got to remember, she's been an active competitor since like 2010, and she was on a tear for a while when she was Divas champion, not just WWE. She was WWE Women's Champion, I think, once, but she was Divas champion for a little bit as well. She went on a tear. She's just
a bygone
now,
age.
You know what, though? Given what she's done, given where she is now in the card, like, it speaks to longevity. I'll put Natty over. Like, I think it's entertaining AF what she's doing right now. I said it on the Fightful SmackDown Bo show. It's like undercard comedy. It's fodder. As long as it's entertaining, I'm fine with it. It's completely harmless. Otherwise, people like Aaliyah are going to sit backstage and do nothing like Xia Li.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Natty
is yeah, Xia Li.
Yeah, I remember Xia Li. Good luck with that.
Oh my God.
I love Xia Li.
So many builds.
It is what it is.
Oh, she's protecting catering well.
Yeah. Well, I want to do both women's segments a little later. Let's talk about Sheamus and Ricochet. Not much going on there. Good match. I just don't think there was much else to say. Ricochet gets beat by Sheamus.
And perpetual, but we want him on TV candidates, Sheamus and Ricochet, who should just step in as Rick O'Shea for Rich Holland while he's out.
I'm telling y'all.
We've pitched this before. Like,
stop pitching Lucha Underground stuff. Stop it. It didn't work for them. It's not going to work for WWE. Stop it.
Give him an Irish gimmick. He's Irish, obviously, right?
He's from Paducah, Kentucky.
No.
He ain't Irish. Although I would love that. Either way, you know what? Ricochet, give him props. He's stepping in for Drew McIntyre, who's out injured. So let's do that for now. Rico Sheamus is right there, says Drew. I get it. Put him as a tag team. I just think it's obnoxious AF.
Of course it is. It's garbage. They don't know what to do with Ricochet. When all you need to do with Ricochet is give him somebody to talk for him.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman is currently unobligated.
Now I'm getting pushback in the chat for saying Lucha Underground worked.
Lucha Underground was great. All of it was. Oh. Yeah.
Then they went to the Ice Temple and everything went to shit.
Yeah, I only watched the first two seasons, so I don't know.
Then it was over. That's why I'm like, cool, Lucha Underground ruled until the season three or whatever it was. Whatever it was just ridiculous.
See, everybody wants it.
I see it in the chat. I see people want Rick O'Shea. I get it. Go watch Give Lucha me Underground. Rick O'Shea. When they
he Rick can
O'Shea.
Steal his hat back. He can steal his little shillelagh.
God damn it. the show. I quit. We're not even going to make it to 100 episodes. I'm going to quit at 92.
I'm going to break you.
We've already broken once before. a match rooted in taking a dump on someone's forehead as Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin make their way to confront Kofi Kingston as he gives his proclamation that Xavier Woods is injured and he will not be part of the Royal Rumble, but Kofi will be. Madcap Moss, future Intercontinental Champion, by the way.
Ah, almost certainly. He's getting all the play right now. They love him. They clearly love him. Like, he is over. And he's good in the ring. He really is. Riddick Moss is going to be a guy down the line who's a top guy, and they're going to play back this footage as his opponent is just ripping on him, right? Like, they're going to show him, oh, remember when you used to wear suspenders, like dork? Like, it's going to be a pre-pay-per-view main event that he is waiting for. So, anyway.
Madcap, all belts, every belt, Moss.
See, it's coming, I'm telling you. Kofi's going to keep on getting Kofi'd because he, you know, continued to get Kofi'd here by putting over Madcap Moss, but it's fine. You know, Madcap Moss is good. It's a shame that Kofi gets no respect.
Pat McAfee saying, will a royal deuce be dropped on Madcap Moss's face? good stuff. Kofi is a former WWE champion.
Exactly. Like, everything is nonsense.
Guess what? So is Jinder Mahal, and he lost tonight too, or on Friday.
Here's the thing. Kofi got Kofi'd, and he never stopped getting Kofi'd. It just kept happening. Like,
Jinder got hindered, and then he got injured, and now he's just back. So
there you go.
Here we are.
He's just back, and merely back. There is nothing else to him. He got to fuck up a motorcycle. That's been his high watermark.
You know why Madcap Moss deserves every single title? Because he's former Raw Underground competitor Moss. Mod Mike gets it. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you come to the ring wearing shorts, suspenders, and a belt, I think you deserve a second belt. And that belt is the Intercontinental Championship. Madcap Moss wins in 5 minutes over Kofi Kingston.
Put a belt on that belt. I need those shoes, actually, because if he can wrestle in those shoes, they probably last.
Were they Tim's? Were they Timberlands? Yeah,
They were not Timberlands. They weren't boots. They were like, I don't know, maybe Timberland makes them. They were like a well manufactured loafer. Someone can find out what shoes Riddick Moss or Madcap Moss wore to the ring. Let me know.
Jinder dropped bar so good they ran off Hit Row. It's true. There you go.
True that.
And then in the main event, before we talk about all the women's stuff, Roman Reigns comes out to confront or have a face to face with Seth Rollins. Reigns has been champion for 504 days as of Friday. So I guess for 506 now on Sunday.
My old area code.
Hey, there you go. 504, not my area code. Let me know when they get to 613. It was a good segment. I actually kind of liked Seth coming out. First of all, looking like Michael Friggin' Jackson.
Yeah.
Great style.
Spectacular.
Seth, are you okay? Are you okay, Seth? And finally, there you go. Do the dance. Anyway, I like that the whole segment is based around Seth being like, I built you. I can take you out of here. Basically, a father talking to his son. I made you and I brought you into this world. and I can take you out of it. What did you think of this segment?
Oh, that was good. Again, it does make a damn bit of sense because heel versus heel, and I don't know what we're doing here. But overall, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't get the feud. It makes sense because they have the history, but neither one of them in their current form makes sense. So it's just like, I feel like they're burning something that they could have held in their back pocket for a little longer. Like, is Roman the face? He was the one getting all the cheers. Like, is him being separated from Paul Heyman enough for them? Like, now he's doing the acknowledge me shtick as like a crowd pop. So it's like, and it doesn't jive like with that character. So like, as much as the crowd might appreciate it, I don't think it works for me anyway, because narratively he's still a jackass. Like,
I like Seth coming out and saying, let's do the fist bump for old times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Roman,
he's like, that's beneath me now.
And I think they're trying to play it more that Seth is the good guy because, you know, for old time's sake, like, give me that nostalgia. And Reigns being like, yeah, that's beneath me now. And he says, you know, Seth is like, I won all of our matches. So now he's a heel again. Now, but he's also pointing out the truth. But then you get Reigns, who's like, you don't understand. I'm in God mode. I'm the tribal chief. I'm the head of the table. I'm the greatest universal champion of all time. And that makes me the greatest ever to do this. Self-aware Roman is a heel, but he talks a big game. And that makes a lot of people like him.
Yeah, saying God mode is going to get you over. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. It's going to be a good match. It's going to be a good match. But, like, it's a meh.
And, like, and Matt McCosby saying, you know, Roman versus Becky Lynch is the true main event of WrestleMania. He made reference. He was just like, if I wanted a main event of WrestleMania, I'd ask to be with a real main eventer, like your wife. Great.
Yeah, it's good.
I think those little jabs are fun because they make sense and they work. And I agree with Maggie.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is great for Seth.
Yeah, I mean, I love Seth's character right now. I think he's top of his game. I just don't know why these two are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like, Seth should really absolutely be in the main event picture as he was. I don't know.
And again, what's frustrating is how he got there because, again, Seth is a Raw superstar and they're putting him on SmackDown. There was no reason for doing it. The reason Adam Pearce gave was history. And come on, man, we can do better. But also, he said it on the bump where no one pays attention anymore.
So can you, why would you bring your A game to the bump?
He's on there like every week. Apparently, he lives on the bump. Ryan Popola lives on the bump set. Adam Pearce lives in his office waiting for the bump to call.
It is warm in his office, so he's got to come out and get some air.
Let's talk about it. Sonya comes in and is confronted by Naomi. And Naomi's like, why do we have beef? Why don't you like me? And I'm finally like, oh my God, can we finally get to the crux of the situation?
We all sit there on the edge of our seats.
Like, is it racism? I hope it's not racism. Please don't make it racism because a lot of people are waiting for you to make it racism.
It would have been something else if she on this family programming just straight up said, I don't like black people. Like, what the hell?
Jesus Christ. We don't like blood, but I tell you what else we don't like. No. No, never. Please don't do this. This would be not good.
That'd be worse than the blood. Much, much worse than the blood.
Yeah. So anyway, when asked, Sonya says, you are an extra when you think you are a superstar. And I thought that was absolute cop-out dog shit.
Yeah. It was like we were all sitting on the edge of our seats and yeah, okay, nothing then. Same nothing that they've been saying forever. Yeah.
Give me anything.
Is there nothing to draw on? Like, have they? I don't know. These, I don't know their past at all.
You could have found something. I'm sure there's something. I think Sean Rossap had pointed out you could have pulled something from Total Divas. A deleted scene. A scene that made no sense, but had them both in there and made up something. No one would have gone back and watched it. No one would have been like, oh, no, I know that scene.
That's go film a fake deleted scene. Like, you can do whatever you want. It's fiction.
Exactly. But she leaves the room. Naomi leaves the room after being reminded once again, as long as this jacket is on, I am a professional WWE official. Now, Tim, I would never take that literally. Would you?
No, because it's a stupid concept.
So there we go. She leaves the room. Adam Pearce comes in. Naomi leaves the room. Adam Pearce comes in and he's just like, oh, why is it so cold in here? And I'm like, because your partner is a frigid bitch. We're just hitting this over the head with a hammer. And then he goes and he turns up the thermostat. And I'm like, I see where this is going. So the next scene, they're talking, and now it's suddenly very hot in here. Something's wrong. Da 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 da. Are you gonna take off the jacket? What are we gonna do? And then next thing you know, they do another segment and it's still hot. And they're going to take off. He's already taken off his jacket. And
took off his jacket. It's too hot for jackets.
Nice arms, Adam Pearce. Nice arms. That's all I hear from my timeline at that point. And then finally, it's the real jacket time as Sonya Deville takes off her jacket.
Still wearing a vest, like three-piece affair going on. So like, I don't, still pretty formal. Still pretty formal.
She's got a dress shirt. She's got a tie. Hair done up. Anyway. And in comes Naomi being like, oh, jacket's off, bitch.
It's time to go.
At that point, I would have just, if I'm Sonya Deville, excuse me. If I'm Sonya Deville, I would have laughed in her face. And I would have said, you think this is literal? What is wrong with you? Like, how dumb can you be? And just walked out of the room. But instead, no, they go face to face. And she's like, I'm gonna beat your ass. Adam Pearce comes back and he's like, no, you're right. Sonya, you've been getting in the way for too long. And now, Naomi, you're going to get a title match. Or at least a championship contenders match.
It was that easy Charlotte all Flair. Along. Didn't she already have a championship contenders match?
Buddy, I've stopped paying attention to the week by week. And this is a good point. Ace saying that didn't Adam Pearce say on the bump that he wouldn't get involved in Sonya and Naomi's business? You bet he did. And guess what? Nobody watches the bump.
The bump isn't canon. It exists in its own dark void.
It exists in the mind of Ryan Popola as he is ironing his Sasha Banks chalk line jacket and saying, what can we talk about today? I love my show. While the rest of them are just like, time to go to work and I don't want to be here.
It must be pretty chill having a job with absolutely no pressure like that.
He's got to do other stuff.
No.
Oh, got to spit shine the titles on the set today.
Just doing stuff that he thinks is important, but it doesn't matter and no one cares.
Come see what I did, Ryan. We're busy.
Yeah, anyway, actual work to do.
I put up the Royal Rumble banners just for the show. Anyway, later on in the night, speaking of Charlotte and Naomi, Charlotte is a part of this next scene where they introduce Lita. Lita's back. Somehow,
an underwhelming return. Just dump having truck, it announced.
A dump truck full of money comes to Antigua and is dropped in front of her treehouse. And she's convinced to go to Omaha, Nebraska, where it is flipping cold. And Lita's back. You know what? I don't care that. I don't care that it was a little last minute. I think it actually drew eyes. It got a lot of people excited because, social media still brings people to the interested tables.
Yeah, it was the only thing that had me like kind of interested in SmackDown this week because I like Lita.
Exactly. And there, again, you have social media, you have nostalgia, and you have a big segment announced for SmackDown. The story of the Women's Rumble is the Charlotte Flair story and what's going to happen there. It's not about Becky Lynch. It's not about the Raw Women's Championship. It is very much the Charlotte story. So Lita's out. She's like, I got one more run in me. And it turns out she's had one more run ready for her since 2018 because Fightful Select reported that AEW made a play to have her come in and face off against Dr. Britt Baker DMD. This was 2019, I got 2020. Either way, in the last few years, there was a play or at least some interest gauged from whether or not Lita would come in and work with Britt Baker. We'll get to that part in a minute. Out comes Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte's all like, hey, you suck.
That's
essentially what it was. I forget.
Like, I beat up Trish Stratus.
It was. I beat Trish Stratus so bad. Your best friend, I beat her up so bad that she had to go back to her kids. And then Lita's all like, you got a giant head. And the fans are chanting giant
head. The fans chant giant head because you're trained apes.
Hey, is it better than Pinhead Squarehead?
No, you're right. You know what? Both companies not trying very hard.
So I will give them credit because Lita did bring up the fact that she and Trish, her bestie, as she called her, had the main event on Raw back in, what was it, 2006. And then Charlotte coming out and making reference to beating Trish Stratus. That works. That works. Yep. It was actually a very good segment. And then they did the Twist of Fate spot.
Tough in heels, man.
She didn't have to wear heels, Tim. She knew she was
normally take the kicks spot. Them off. Don't know why she. Yeah, that was a choice. I blame Charlotte for that.
Wasn't great. She kind of took a face plant. I don't know.
Her arms were like a solid foot in advance of her face. So like tuck the elbows a little tighter.
So Matt's saying any Lita versus anyone but Charlotte at Mania, and I agree. I think it's actually looking like Lita versus Bayley. That's the match.
Dope. That sounds dope as hell.
That's the match I want to see. Mm. And do Charlotte versus Sasha, fine. Do Becky versus Bianca, great.
Great.
For the women's tag titles, do the Bellas versus Lena and whatever her partner is, Carmella. That's fine.
Show.
Either way, what would have happened if Lita went to AEW? Do you think that would have been good for AEW? Do you think that would have been good for Lita?
I think having a veteran in the background at a time when they really, really needed kind of women's leadership there, that would have been helpful. Seeing her put over Britt Baker, I don't know that I would have loved that.
Yeah. I also don't really love, and we're going to get to the chat. I really like the idea that, now my train of thought is off. I like the idea of Lita having done this to get Britt over, but I don't like that the Britt promos would have been all about Matt Hardy and Edge.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that being tied into it,
So in the chat, we're getting word, and I see it here. Mustafa Ali is asking for his request from WWE. So it's a request for his
request
release. he says, I have a message that is much bigger than my dreams in pro wrestling. Despite my best efforts, I will not be able to deliver this message while working with WWE. Therefore, I am requesting my release from WWE. We found out this week that, and this shouldn't shock anybody, that when people are asking for the releases from WWE, it's as easy as WWE saying yes or no. And when they say no, it's because they have some sort of plan or because they see the value in keeping them and not letting them go elsewhere. Is Ali one of those people that they can say no and keep them and make it miserable? Or will they grant it?
I mean, he should have work. I really hope he does go. I don't think he's right there. Like, you know, I think his message is difficult to get across in WWE when it's the way it is. Like, you know, I think his message, I think he largely wants to be an inspiration for a lot of children and stuff like that. And like, it's good because WWE is like marketed towards children. Unfortunately, I don't think the things he values are valued by WWE at all. So
I think what's very strange is that, like you're saying, he wants to be a more kid-friendly, understandable, relatable character.
Like a role model.
He wants to be a role model. And everywhere, and he talked about this on his journey up when he was in the independents, every promoter wanted him to be like some weird anti-America borderline terrorism based character. And he was like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, it's the lazy, it's the glow story that they were telling with
And it's lazy. So instead, he's asking for his way out. But again, if he goes anywhere else, can he be what this idea of him as a character should be anywhere else?
I mean, it's tough. Like, he could go to somewhere like AEW where they have the audience, but he'll be like, it'll be tough to fit in because the roster's so deep already.
Yeah.
Like, no other wrestling promotion is marketed towards children as heavily as WWE is, because again, I just don't think that this is a like thing that should be marketed towards children so heavily. But what, like, blood or not, it is just the concept of it is not like loving competition. It's not sport. Like, the message in WWE is violence, like, and bad interpersonal skills. That's what wrestling is. It's a soap opera. Like,
yeah,
children shouldn't look to it for anything because it's not instructive.
And so on top of that, I just to carry on that, I want to see him in Impact. I think you're right. AEW has a very deep roster. You see what they're doing with some of their latest acquisitions and where they're sitting on the card or not sitting on the card.
Or being shuffled in and out and awkwardly, not in an organic way. Like,
yes. It's almost as if we have to make good for having a big debut for you and then kind of shuffling you down the deck. Now we got to randomly bring you up. And like, it's a little jarring sometimes with AEW.
I don't think anyone's really killing it, sadly. Like, I think everyone's got their problems.
I see some people saying for the X division, putting him in Impact. I think that would be fun. I think he would do really well there. But it's up to him. And again, it's up to whether or not he gets his release. That's going to be the big question. And like Ma Dan saying, you know, hope he gets his release. I really want to see him on my screen as a Pakistani Muslim, especially speaking. Makes sense. But again, that's a little bit of breaking news. So we'll see. He has so much potential. People have been wanting him to be so much bigger than he is for the last year, 2 years. He has been given opportunities. He's crushed it. And then he's shuffled back.
Yeah, because the opportunities were written into a corner. Like, they don't come to someone with a fully fledged idea. And it does all of these wrestlers such a disservice. Because just, like, flesh it out a little more before you're ready to release it. Like, don't just throw something up.
He's also the definition of grabbing the brass ring and then not having anything come from it.
No, I know. Like, it's really rough. So I hope he does get his release, and I hope he gets to somewhere where he can actually be used and featured.
I can tell you from the things I've heard, he pitches like a motherfucker.
Yeah, like I'm not surprised. He seems like a really, like, quick-witted, clever guy. Like, yeah. I think that he, you know, I think he could manage his own career better than WWE can manage it.
I agree. And again, the fact that he continues to make the videos that he does, he continues to pitch, and he pitches with or without WWE's consent. He goes out and he self-finances some of these things. He creates content. He creates buzz for himself. There's a lot of opportunity there. You know what? If he gets his release and he's got to wait 90 days, bring him. I want to see him on the indies for a bit. I want to see him at PWG. I want to see him at GCW. I want to see him go on a tear. Speedball Mike Bailey is currently doing that. And he had a banger match last night in GCW against Tony Deppen. I want to see shit like that from Mustafa Ali. Yeah, like
his training vignettes recently on social media have been excellent, which to the point that I've seen them. And I don't go out of my way to see, you know, any of that content. So the fact that it's popped up in my feed is telling.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see where he lands. We'll see if he even gets his release. For all we know, he's going to pop up on SmackDown next week and be given the Intercontinental Championship. And then lose it to... And then lose it to Madcap Moss 2 weeks later.
Brutal.
I don't know what to say. But you know what? I do know what to say. If you're here and you're hanging out with us, welcome. You can toss a thumbs up on this video. You can leave a comment here. If you're in our chat, hello, welcome. We'd love to have you. If you have not subscribed to us here on timandjoelpod.com, go ahead, hit that subscribe button, tap that bell, get notifications because we're live every Sunday and Wednesday at noon Eastern on youtube.com/timandjoelpod. And our Discord is there. Join us. It's free. There's a link in the video description. Tim, let's talk about AEW.
All right.
Let's talk about Dynamite.
All right.
Let's talk about Adam Cole, baby. Hashtag baby.
He's getting a lot of play.
Yep, because he comes to the ring with his buddies from Red Dragon. They haven't named the group yet. Paragon is the thing that people are talking about. Don't like it.
A little too close to Pinnacle.
No, what are you talking about? It's too close to, I don't know. Like, it's too close to Pentagram. Doesn't work for me. I don't know. So Cole's just like, hey, you know, this is our company. We're the best. Who's ready for story time with Adam Cole, baby? We got Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, the baddest team on God's green earth, and then the Young Bucks come out. The Young Bucks come out, and they're just like, hey, this is our company. We're the longest reigning tag champs in company history. New Year's resolution is to get our belts back. Tim, how do you feel about people making New Year's resolutions this deep into the month?
I have no real feelings towards New Year's resolutions one way. I don't really do it because it doesn't. It's an arbitrary cutoff. It's fine. Just do the thing.
Perfect.
I think there's some, like, I've read some stuff where if you don't tell people about what you're doing, the odds of you doing it are much higher.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do that.
Because it gives your brain like a little check mark. Be like, oh, I did the thing. Just conveying that you're planning to do a thing. Like, it gives you a little serotonin bump. And it's like, nah, just shut up. Do the thing. Then when it's done, tell people.
Best friends come out to interrupt everybody. Because, of course, this is another feud that cannot end. Statlander goes to stop Adam Cole, but guess who's behind her is Dr. Britt Baker, dental medical dentist. I don't know what the DMD stands for. We do this every week.
Doctor of medical dentistry.
Doctor of medical dumbness. And anyway, gives Statlander the curb stomp and then kisses her boyfriend, Adam Cole.
Everybody wants to kiss Adam Cole.
He's dreamy, isn't he? He's a good looking dude.
Well, if his hair wasn't so greasy.
That's true. When he ties it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real unpleasant. That greasy ass hair. It's like a little wet otter.
He's doing the thing with his cheeks all the time. Yeah. I'm looking forward to AEW Mixed Match Challenge. I really want every single AEW couple to team up and do a mixed match challenge with the winners getting
stand by for Sammy Guevara and Tay.
Yeah, there you go. You got them. You've got Julia Hart and Shoddy Lee Johnson. Who else is there?
I don't care. I've never once cared.
Chat's gonna fill it up for us.
Yeah, you fill it out.
CM Punk versus Mr. Mayhem, the War Dog, Matthew Mike Wardlow.
Yeah, he's got a lot of monikers, eh?
Okay, if they're not going to give him mic time, they may as well give him monikers. Again, fun match. A lot of people talking about how it was very close to Nash versus Bret Hart from the 90s. I think it was, there you go, Jungle Boy and Anna Jay.
Thank you.
People are going to keep doing this throughout the show. Good match. Again, Nash versus Bret vibes. Big man, little man. I didn't
Punk
love...
getting his ass beat and over and over again.
I saw the finish coming a mile away. I did. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Everyone did, because it just kept going on. It was a long segment. Didn't need to be that long.
Yeah, it felt like they kind of kept going, trying to build some sort of drama that wasn't
fully there. If you have even half a brain, it was not. My God, look at them go! There are so many.
Bring back
Punk and AJ's fantasy booking. Yeah,
there you go. Now we're fantasy booking this thing. So MJF he basically costs the match for Wardlow because CM Punk on that final powerbomb attempt rolls up Wardlow in a small package.
Which, that's a little silly. He's a big man. And you know what? What made it work a little bit better is CM Punk throwing his legs up onto Wardlow along and hooking his other leg and then just laying on his chest like that. I thought that made it work a little bit better.
Yeah. And again, so the match worked. From a technical standpoint, the match was fine. The match worked. From a dramatic standpoint, it didn't do it for me.
No, and I think that it brought the focal point to Wardlow versus MJF, not MJF versus CM Punk.
That's right.
So what I'm seeing is maybe CM Punk goes over MJF, and this is the story they use to tell that, which is, to me, asks, why CM Punk got to win so much?
Well, because next week he's got to beat noted chair pervert Sean Spears.
Which I would jump to Rampage, but I've got Rampage off to the side of my screen. I'm doing some other stuff, and then to the little bit side eye, I see this dramatic entrance with all these cool lights and this guy sitting with a nipple scarf in his hood.
Nipple scarf.
I mean, it serves one purpose, and it is to keep the nipples warm. Nothing
else.
It's
true. And the head and covered.
Yeah, exactly. The head and the nips. And that it's everyone knows that's where you lose the most heat.
From the nips directly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, their projections. And I'm like, who is this young upstart? And then it's freaking Sean Spears.
Noted chair pervert Sean Spears. That's right.
And he comes out and he does his pretty, he kills some enhancement talent guy. I don't know.
7'4" tall Andrew Everett. Get it right.
Okay, was he 7'4"?
No, he's not. Look. That's the gimmick. Him and Rosemary are together.
Oh, fun. Again, I don't care. And then he just cuts his promo. He's like, you all got to know something. Who's this guy? What do you know about it? He's like, yeah, you've defined your character. Finally, you have a perversion for chairs. Good work.
There, you got it. Noted chair pervert, Sean Spears. And you know what? I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's a good sport about it because he tweeted something completely self-helpy on Twitter. And I just quote tweeted and said, that's great advice, noted chair pervert Sean Spears. And he, no block, no mute, just Nothing. Just
I would lean into it. I would find somebody out there has produced like a sleek and sexy like ad for a chair, like an office chair. I'm sure it's out there. You know, think of a car ad, but for chairs. He should be retweeting that with like the drooling emoji or whatever.
I love it.
Lean into it. Honestly, it's the most defined gimmick Sean Spears has ever had. So
it's true. It's probably his best gimmick thus far. Which he is,
you know, self-referential and aware of. He referenced it in his Rampage promo. Like,
oh my goodness. Let's move forward. Dante Martin takes on Powerhouse Hobbs from Team Taz. Team Taz, who still have no direction until Friday on Rampage when we found out.
No direction and no lawyers.
Yeah, no direction.
They're just
lawyers.
Writing up contracts in crayon.
What is going on with those contracts? Can anyone join? Can I join Team Taz? I don't get it.
Probably.
Probably could.
I feel like you got to give Taz 10% of your earnings, though.
Again, the story of Team Taz, sorry, not the story of Team Taz, the story of Dante Martin is that everyone wants to be with him, but no one can be successful with him until his brother comes back, pulls him away from everything, and says, buddy, you suck with other people, but you're bonkers with me. And Top Flight is reunited.
Where's
reunited.
Leo Rush?
Where is Leo Rush? That is a very good question. Leo Rush and Xia Li are hanging out together, having wonderful food, breaking bread. They are the Forbidden Door.
Oh my God, now I'm hungry.
Oh, me too. I got this leftover mac and cheese, and it's like white cheddar mac and cheese, but with barbecue chicken and broccoli in it. It's really good. I'm going to have that for dinner, lunch, so whatever. Put some eggs over it. Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. Anyway, let's move along. Marvez interviews Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle.
Fathead, this one, right? We got
yes,
square head,
probably.
We got fat head, we got big head.
I got nothing. MJF challenges Sean Spears versus Punk. And then, okay, Hangman Page. Let's talk about Hangman Page. Comes out to the ring and he's just like, hey, I slayed the dragon. I did it. I did 90 minutes between two matches with Danielson. And it's not enough. It's a new year. Records reset. I need a new challenger. And then out comes Dan Lambert. Tell me your thoughts on this, on Dan
I'm
Lambert.
I'm fine with it. I don't hate Dan Lambert. Everyone hates Dan Lambert. I don't mind him at all. I think he's doing a bang up job.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was ripping on the millennial cowboy. So mm-hmm. I thought that was funny. It makes sense. They've done the work for it. He came out to compliment him, you know. Which I have no idea what Dan Lambert's preferred style of wrestling is supposed to be, because like the Daniel Bryan Hangman Adam Page matches were nothing like 80s wrestling, which seems to be what he actually anyway, that's a bit odd. That didn't work, but we'll get there. And then I can't remember how it ended.
He's like,
oh yes, Lance Archer comes out.
Yes,
because Lance Archer is the perennial I'll come out and be around but have no real purpose. I'm gonna lose to Hangman now, I guess.
And you know what? I'm fine with it. It's a new year.
This is a good,
You've reset everything. I just want Lance Archer to get a bunch of wins on Dark Elevation and Rampage and Dynamite leading up to Beach Break. Do the match at Beach Break. Simple, straightforward. Big man, little man. Adam Page retains his title. And we're bringing back Mox. Mox is doing the GCW show. So you got to assume he's coming back to AEW as well. And if that's the case, you got to do something with Mox and Danielson to get to Mox and Adam Page. And you know what that is, Tim? It's a double turn. Because Danielson took over that spot for Mox while Mox was out. Mox was in the midst of turning heel slowly, and they just gave it to Danielson. Now all you got to do is Danielson's the heel. Mox is the courageous warrior coming back from having conquered his demons, having done what he could to fight alcoholism, whatever he was in inpatient treatment for. So he's going to get cheered. And then Danielson, all he has to do is like make that look like an awful thing and be like, I am clean and sober, blah, 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 blah. And then it leads to a match between Danielson and Mox, and Mox wins the match eventually by low blowing Danielson. And it's a double turn.
Oh, and Mox can sell. Mox can switch. Like he'll put together some promos. There's so much fodder within all 100%. Of this that I think he'll lean on. Very, very willingly, and just he's gonna kill it.
Do Mox and Danielson at Revolution. You got to do a world title match. I don't know who, and I don't think that it's Adam Cole. I think Cole is more.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a later.
I think we're doing Lance Archer now. We'll set up another better feud after that. And then, yeah, we'll get there. Just Eddie need some time. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Malachi Black. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to
be. The list is very long. We still got Miro eventually.
Yeah, Miro's got to come back from being injured, and that's going to be a thing. Either way, let's move forward. One women's match, which I'm so not a big fan of doing this way. Sheeta and Deeb have their fourth installment, and it's very quick, and it's all about writing off Sheeta because she's back to Japan to work on a movie. But if you know that the match is going to be less than 5 minutes, why wouldn't you put a second women's match on your show?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was about. I also saw some photos on her Instagram, and her leg was just all banged to shit, which I think might have been the case before this match. I don't know.
Entirely possible. I did see the same photos. At the airport.
I think that maybe this was because of that, but I don't know what's going on.
Well, like I said, she's going to Japan. She's filming a movie. So she's going to be at least in Japan for the next, let's say, month, 2 months. I just wish that they had done something else. Put Jade out there. Give her a squash match. The record's reset.
No, instead we get the promo that just says that bitch show.
I don't know why we did that. It felt weird to me. It just felt just whatever. This episode didn't really do much for me. They go to challenge for the tag titles. You've got Reynolds and Silver taking on Jurassic Express on Rampage. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, cute. Matt Hardy versus Penta.
Oh.
That is a match I expected less of and got more of. It was a good match.
Same. Agreed. After the initial.
I loved this opening. Come on.
I was so. No, I don't like either of their things. Matt Hardy. I really hate the delete thing. I hate it so much. It's fine. It's over. It's just not for me.
What I love about it is that he's doing the delete and then the Cerro Miedo, and then you've got the announce team being like, by the way, this match has 20 minutes.
They saved it, and I was like, thank you. God.
Yeah. This match has a 20-minute time limit. And I'm like, cool, let them do it for 15 minutes and then go ham at the end. either way, Hardy takes a fear factor, which I did not expect. I think most people didn't expect it because Matt Hardy taking shots to the back of his neck are things that he doesn't do very much these days. But he loses the match. Penta wins. And then out comes Malachi Black. Teleports his way in.
Yep.
And Black just lays out Alex Abrahantes with a roundhouse kick. I loved it.
Delightful.
And then attacks Penta. Varsity Blondes come out. Julia Hart's there. And she's like, no, stop. And then Malachi's like yelling and screaming or being like, haha, there's three. And the crowd is chanting for Brody King. And Brody King comes out.
Finally.
Finally. I think it was supposed to happen last week, but I think because of the injury, everything got messed
reasons.
Up.
Reasons, yeah.
How do you feel about Brody King? Is this your first time seeing Brody?
Yeah, I never seen him before.
What did you think of first impression?
Well suited to Malachi Black.
Lots of tattoos and
the full beard. Body tats and I think this is the best possible thing Malachi Black could be doing is having a stable of guys who look like that and just doing like a weird cultist thing like the Wyatt family.
Ooh, the Wyatt family. So you're trying to say that Bray Wyatt's going to join the House of Black? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it.
I don't think Wyndham Rotunda is going to be willing to play second fiddle to anyone. So we'll see.
As a Mario player, I appreciate this comment. Brody King is, in fact, built like Bowser. I'm a fan.
That he is.
Julia Hart joining House of Black. That's fine with me. I would like that.
Do that. Please, God, do that.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. And yeah, we'll get to Kings of the Black Throne. That's the team of King and Black versus Malachi
mouthful.
And Brody King. Versus Jurassic Express. Let's do that. Maybe that's the beach break main event.
Maybe it's shorter in Dutch.
I doubt it. Yeah. The match that didn't need to happen that could have had a second women's match was the Acclaimed versus Bear Country.
Out of nowhere. Who's okay?
And it was all just to do the Sting and Darby Allin thing.
Which is fine.
Why didn't they do? They should have shown the stupid video on Wednesday instead of Friday. The music video, which by the way, hilarious.
Very good.
It's just loved the goth that. Phase. Loved it.
Loved that. Great hook. Yeah. Yep. Dang. Killed it. I assume Ruckus was involved.
I think that's fair. Or I don't know. Sometimes other people are involved. But
sometimes
could be him. Who knows? Yeah, Pac getting involved with House of Black. I'd be fine with that too.
Yep, same.
PWG nope. Tag Team Champions are in fact unstoppable. The Kings of the Black Throne. And speaking of Pac, he comes out and he's got a Justice card, tarot card in his hands, and he's like, "You may have blinded me, but now I see everything. I'm not angry. I appreciate the blessing." So it looks like Pac might be potentially joining
forces. Also well suited to Malachi Black.
That's he good. Needs more tattoos, though.
He can get no. I don't think he wants to get them.
He just hides starts wearing like fake tattoos.
Just those bad.
It's all just it's just the Cody tattoo, but like the rub-on ones, and oh it's just God. All over his body.
Just a
that's Pac right there. All right. Oh, by the way, Matt Hardy and Andrade are now going to be best friends because they love money. So
yeah, because Matt Hardy has gimmick ADHD. So you know, despite the gimmicked. Fact that he basically was just like, "No, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to settle down," and that lasted for what, like 6 months.
Give or take. And then in the main event, the interim TNT championship, the Spanish God.
I don't even want, he doesn't deserve it. He's Sammy let Guevara. Me down the last two matches. He's not, I expected more out of this match and I blame Sammy.
Sammy Guevara takes on ever present main eventer, Daniel Garcia. He is no longer Rampage main eventer. He is now all show main eventer.
Main Daniel eventer, Garcia. Daniel Garcia.
I liked the match. I did. Me too. What I didn't like was the finish.
Very bad. Sammy was gassed, and he did his looked like he was doing a dance, and he just tapped his leg, and then did the anyway.
It was also overbooked nonsense. You got Jericho. You the got Kingston. Stupid, you got 2.0. Yeah. They're doing the beatdown. You got Sammy doing the crossroads. It was awful looking, but at least he tried it. And I told you on this podcast. I said, "Hey, Sammy needs to find a counter for the crossroads." I didn't say Sam needs to do the damn crossroads.
No. I don't know. What? How did he finish it? Was it the go to
eight? It was the go to hell. It was the GTH.
Okay, so like neither him. This is a beef I've always had with this move. No one does it good. Like CM Punk, when what I did catch of him back in his heyday, my main takeaway was that his finisher sucked because he wasn't very good at it. And like part of that is your partner. For that, but it's just like it looks so bad so often. Like, do something else.
Kenta does it well. If you see him in New Japan doing it, it's fine. That's where it really came from.
I'm sure somebody does it very well. It's just like I don't think that CM Punk or Sammy Guevara do it well consistently.
Yeah.
Like it looks good sometimes. It's just like it needs to look good every time if it is your damn finisher.
Right. Like, by the way, I'm not saying Kenta made the GTS. I'm saying Kenta popularized it now. Either way, I agree with you, especially when you have a company where two guys are doing a very similar move, finish.
More or less. Oh, yeah. Sorry. One's upside down to start.
Yeah, they got to figure out if it's different enough or if it's just I think there's something there to talk about. But regardless, Sammy retains his interim championship. And guess who comes back next week? The guy who has the title.
Who will win.
You think he's going to win? You think it's going to be Cody winning?
Yeah.
You're probably right. Yeah. Let's move on to Rampage. Tramp Redder takes on Adam Cole.
Tramp Redder.
Yeah. It was a good match. Really good match with Adam Cole and Tramp Redder. Yeah. Much better than it had any business being, but it was hot. It was fun. Just a whole lot of wrestling.
The in-ring was great, Rampage.
It was. I was able to enjoy a lot of that, and I agree with you. There was enough, and it was paced well enough that I didn't feel like it was just a slog to get through. Rampage tends to have that.
Yeah.
There. Danhausen should trademark the GTS and people should beat him to use it as a finisher. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Very nice. Very GTS. Moving on. Cole does the low blow and scores the pin. Adam Cole Bebe remains undefeated in AEW. We talked about Sean Spears, so we don't need to talk about this. Another excellent match coming up. The six-woman trios match. Statlander, Velvet, and legit Layla Hirsch taking on Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, who's the best, and the Bunny. I have to say, what was great about this match, other than the in-ring work, is the fact that it told a damn story and drew from the stories they started telling weeks ago up until now.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job. Layla Hirsch needs work on the backstagers and the acting bit, but like overall in ring, she's tremendous. So like it came together well. Like I thought it was good.
Yeah, the backstage with who was it?
Red
Hirsch
Velvet
and Statlander and all the, yeah. And Red Velvet. That was not great.
Not good.
On Dynamite. That was not good. It was like we took 56 takes and this was the best one. It was not very good. But I loved the idea of this team not coexisting and it making sense for a change.
Yep.
Layla Hirsch is currently on the turn and it's a slow build. I think it's time to finally let the turn happen. But they cost the match. They lose
as they should.
Bunny rolls up Layla Hirsch. That doesn't happen very often.
Yay, but Bunny gets a win.
Hell yeah. She gets wins on Dark. Doesn't
matter. Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Now, the following segment made perfect sense if you were watching on TV, but none if you're live, because this was a doing it from commentary segment where they're talking about FTW, the FTW championship, and a long line of challengers. And needing to challenge for the belt. And out comes Jay Lethal. And Jay Lethal says, I'm going to issue a challenge. I don't want to talk about Jay Lethal. So Jay Lethal and Ricky Stark's going to have a match.
I don't like active competitors on commentary. Regularly. I find it annoying. I find that them telling their story through literally every part of the episode is too much for me. I don't like Ricky Starks and Taz both doing outside the ring stuff and or outside the commentary table stuff and commentary.
I don't care about Jay Lethal. I just don't care. Let Ricky Starks beat Jay Lethal and let Lethal go back to performing on Dark where I don't watch it. AEW World Tag Team Championships. Again, another match that had no business being as fun as it was. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy defend against John Silver and Alex Reynolds. The pre-match stuff was hilarious. Especially at the end when Mark Henry goes to do his enough talk, it's time for the main event, and John Silver is mouthing it and flexing at the same time. Come on, man. How good is John Silver?
He's so good.
So yeah. Silly. Again, fun match. I missed pieces of it, but I got back to it, and it was enjoyable. Like, what do you expect? It is Dark Order. It is Silver and Reynolds, and this is the perfect first defense for new champions.
And nobody broke their arm.
Nobody bro-
Jungle Boy did break character when Luchasaurus roared behind his head in the pre-show, the pre-match stuff.
He was trying not to break.
He was just like,
they got to do something with that. I hate that, the roar.
It's very strange. Okay, he's got such a cool look. It's just such a dumb gimmick. Like, the actual wrestler underneath the dinosaurs, it should be enough.
The prophecy has come true, Tim. A literal dinosaur is an AEW champion. It's good stuff. There we go. They get their first defense. They win. And now I'm just waiting for them to announce the world title or world tag title eliminator tournament that finishes at Revolution. It's got to happen.
No more. It's got to be stupid tournaments.
And it'll be Stumpy Brackets.
You have rankings.
Someone tried to tell me that, you know, this couldn't happen because so-and-so isn't in the rankings. I'm like, point to me a time when the rankings have been 100% part of the story. And you can't. You can't tell wrestling stories by this rankings
one, this, only. This match, they were a top five team, so they got a shot.
That's fine. They were not the top one team. It's also the beginning of the year, so literally anybody works. Like, there are teams that are 0-0 who can be like, we're undefeated, guess what? Like, we get a title shot now.
That's the thing, we're top five because everyone's 0-0. We're all tied for first. There you go.
First place is leaving a thumbs up on this video, dropping a comment, and subscribing to the channel. That's how you get first place in my books. We had a lot of fun here today. We'll be back on Wednesday at noon Eastern talking about wrestling. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
They can find me at Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP on Twitter. They can find your finger in the mail after this show.
My finger? Oh, shit, I'm missing one.
Anyway, I don't know.
I'm at Joel Pearl. I'll probably have massive blood loss from this finger that I've suddenly realized is missing. JOELPEARL. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you on Wednesday for more Tim and Joel Pod. Take care.